Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Report for Tuesday, October the 25th. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with David Gravel, the latest winner on the World of Outlaws circuit, and Toby Cruz, the new general manager of the Knoxville Raceway. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Report, brought to you by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and by Coastal181.com, reading for racers, and by Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. With the holiday season just around the corner, you can do all of your shopping for your favorite race fan at one place, Coastal181.com. With over 1,000 books and DVDs to choose from, you'll find something for the race fan, from dirt tracks to asphalt to short tracks to super speedways, at Coastal181.com. And if that special someone is a racer, Coastal181.com carries a variety of books from how to race to chassis setup. Plus, their 8-page holiday catalog is filled with their latest releases along with their most popular titles. You can do all of your shopping conveniently online on their secured website at Coastal181.com. To ensure delivery for Christmas, be sure to order by December 15th. For more information, call Coastal181 toll-free at 877-907-8181. That's 877-907-8181. Coastal 181, reading for racers. And welcome back to the Sprint Car Report here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We're joined now by David Gravel, currently sitting third with the All-Stars in points, but on Saturday night, he did something for the first time ever. He won a World of Outlaws A main feature. David, welcome back to the show and congratulations.
Thank you. You know, being on the show is a good thing. It means you're actually doing something.
Appreciate those kind words. You're having a pretty good season. Third, as we mentioned in the points, you finished third last year at the All-Stars, but unfortunately, as you just found out, and as we just found out here on a Monday afternoon as we're taping this interview, the November 2nd All-Star race has been canceled down in Georgia. And you were telling me that they had just had the lineups out. You're starting fifth in a $10,000 to win race that cannot be a happy feeling right now.
Yeah, like the field was already locked in from when we were down there in the beginning of the year, and I was starting fifth, and you know, a few people weren't going to show up, so I might have been even starting better. But $10,000 to win kind of sucks, but you know, what are you going to do? We still got Short Track Nationals coming up here in Charlotte, so we still got some big races to go.
And I think, I mean, as a driver, I know you're a full-time driver and you want to race and earn the money to continue on to the next race, but I also think sometimes these weeknights, they, to a promoter, they may look like a good thing, as Reed Griffith said in his letter to the fans apologizing for the cancellation. It's a good thing, but to catch the Outlaws and whoever might be heading up to Charlotte, but I don't know, late in the year, on a weeknight, a school night, and the way the economy is still just not getting to where we thought it might be. Can you see from his standpoint, maybe it wasn't a bad idea to cancel it and not actually turn it into a worse off financial situation than it may have been?
Well, you know, you can definitely understand that it's during the week and late in the year, and it's going to be cold and stuff like that, but you know, they knew that was going to happen towards the end of the year, and everybody knows it's not a very good economy. So, you know, there's two sides to it, but, you know, you can't complain too much. You just got to go to the next race and do your best. You know, we just won this past weekend, and, you know, you just want to keep the ball rolling. And when you're hot, hopefully you can stay hot for as long as you can. But, you know, like I said, we got big races coming up still.
Well, let's talk about that. When your first Outlaw win, you had been as high as a fifth-place finish at Magnolia Speedway. But here in this little bull ring down there next to the Talladega Super Speedway, you finally stopped Jason Meyer's win streak, which at a point here it was looking like nobody was going to stop Jason. He's on a roll. He's about ready to lock up his second straight World of Outlaw title. How did you do it, and how did you make the pass for the lead to get the win on Saturday night?
Yeah, like you just said, what Jason's doing is pretty crazy, and to defeat him is pretty awesome to be the first to do that. And, you know, we were really good all night. We didn't time trial too well, but we were really fast in the feature. And Dash, we started 10th and was up to 7th. And actually, I spun out on the last lap, and there was a restart with 2 to go. And it actually worked out even better. We finished 6th, so we passed 4 cars in 2 laps. And, you know, we passed Sammy Swindell and a lot of good people. So we know we were really good, and we actually didn't change anything on the car before the feature because we knew we had a really good car. I was just really, really patient. We passed Steve Kinzer and Donnie Schatz, and when we got to Jason on lap, like, 10, after starting 6th, I was just racing side-by-side with him, you know, pretty often, kept poking my nose. He was running the outside, I was running the inside, and he changed his lineup to run the bottom, and he got all squirrely, and, you know, we just ran a good lap around the bottom and got in front of him, and we had clean air, and I could use the whole racetrack, and we got through lap traffic pretty well, and, you know, we set sail.
And as a racer, as you're coming up through the field, and you mentioned you're passing 4-time World Outlaw champion Donnie Schatz, 20-time World Outlaw champion Steve Kinzer, multi-time champion Sammy Swindell, and multi-time winner Sammy Swindell. Do you ever just for a second think, holy geez, I just passed Sammy Swindell. Man, we are really good tonight. Does that thought ever, like, just for a split second, does it pop in and you're like, okay, we just passed Steve Kinzer. All right, we passed Donnie Schatz. And, hey, look, there's Jason Myers in front of us. Man, we're really flying. Do those little thoughts ever just from time to time flash in for a momentary second? Or are you just so focused and so composed that it's more of an afterthought as to who you actually passed on your way to winning your first ever outlaw race?
You know, no outlaw wins are really handed to you anymore. And, you know, you take them as you can get them. And, you know, when you're that good, you know, everything just happens so fast. So I was really focused. But, you know, when you pass those guys, you know, pretty easily without having to use them up or anything like that and pass them cleanly, you know, you got to take advantage of it because it doesn't happen often. We were just so locked down and so good, you know. It was our night.
From a driver's perspective, David, you mentioned that the car was fast all night. How do you go about knowing you have a fast car but not showing all the cards that you have and saving the car, so to speak, for feature time? What are some of the things that you do as a driver to make that happen?
Well, really, in time trials, we've been pulling terrible pills, and we pull a good one. And so that night, we wanted to pull a late pill because the track was still greasy. So we actually had a little luck in time trials to just make the invert to start in front row of the heat race. And we actually raced really hard with Paul McMahon, and we had about the best lap times out of anybody in the heat race. So I know we had a good car. We just had a late race restart, and Paul got me on the start. But we know we were good, and we just had to get top two and, you know, get in the dash and go from there. And I didn't want to spin out in the dash either, but it worked out. We actually gained a spot from spinning out on the last lap. So, you know, like I said, it was just things went our way that night, and I wouldn't say I was saving the car the whole night, but about feature time, I was just really patient, and we've been struggling on fuel mileage, and it was a 35-lap race, and, you know, I was just driving like an old guy would around the bottom, and, you know, Jason Myers was running the top, and, you know, it just worked out for me that night. It was an unexplainable night that, you know, I don't know how many times that will happen, but it was awesome.
You were running the Bobby Allen line, as we like to say here in central Pennsylvania, right around the bottom, old Struffy. And boy, I'll tell you what, his grandson is turning some heads up here. Boy, he has got some heads turned as well. But yeah, that's the Bobby Allen line. We're talking with David Gravel now. David comes from Connecticut, the nutmeg state, or the asphalt open wheel state, if you will. But he is a sprint car driver, and we talked about that before. Third with the All-Stars currently, 28 top fives, give or take 40 top tens this year, a dash win with the Outlaws. How would you grade yourself overall in terms of how 2011 was for you, even with some races left, compared to how 2010 was?
Well, you know, they're both up and down. You know, last year we had a crew chief, Rob Hart, who came with us about a quarter way through the beginning of the season, and You know, we had some pretty good success. We won Ohio Speed Week and won our first all-star race. And, you know, we did pretty well. We had a decent amount of top fives. And then for this year, we did the best we ever did in Florida. We had a third at Volusia, and, you know, we ran pretty strong. And then we went to Magnolia after Florida and, you know, won the Dash and finished fifth. So we started off the season pretty good and had a lot of second place and top three finishes. And after Knoxville, we split with Rob Hart, and we got a new crew chief, Tyler Swank. So right after that, we had some success too, and, you know, had a lot of good finishes. And at Fargo, North Dakota, we raced with Donnie Schatz really, really hard for the win, and he got us. But he said some good things about me. But, you know, it's just up and down. You know, definitely the Outlaw win is my biggest win of my career. But, you know, I was rookie in Knoxville Nationals last year and won Ohio Speed Week. So we've been knocking on the door all year, and it finally happened, and an Outlaw win. I'll definitely take an Outlaw win over an All-Star win any day.
Well, that's interesting to hear. Speaking of that, have you sat down and thought about the 2012 season? What kind of plans you like to have? Where do you want to race? Are you going to do All-Stars, Outlaws, combination of both? And will that depend on if the All-Stars have a title sponsor for next year?
You know, it's still up in the air. Like, if we still maybe set the world on fire at the end of the year, it might change what we do for next year, you know. We have a few things in the works, and, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, you just never know with sprint car racing. And, you know, as long as I'm racing, you know, over 50, 60 times a year, I can't complain too much, you know. No matter if I race the All-Stars or the Outlaws, you're usually running against good people. So, you know, the Outlaws is definitely the ultimate. But, you know, it's very expensive to run the whole deal. We only have three motors and three cars, so I know that won't make it for the Outlaws. So, you know, I want to go when I'm ready. I don't want to make a mistake, and, you know, I want to be prepared. So, you know, if my cards are lined up to run the Outlaws, I will. If not, I'll run the All-Stars. If not, I'll run both, you know. You just never know, and whatever happens, it's meant to be, I believe.
Have you given any thought to coming down and running with the boys here in Central Pennsylvania on a regular basis while still being able to hit some of the other Outlaw and All-Star shows?
Yeah, like I said, I maybe have some things in the works that I might be, but, you know, you never know. My dad's about half owner, and we have another guy that owns the other half, and, you know, it's a lot of stress on those guys, so if I could ever find anything else to take stress off them, that would be, you know, great for my dad. But we're running really good now, so I don't know if I want to change much, you know.
Right. Well, you know, the competition down here is just as good, so I'm sure.
Oh, I know. Every time I come to Williams Grove and Lincoln's got my number. I always struggle there. You know, I like going to Williams Grove because it's a nice place, and, you know, it's very historical. And we actually quick time at the prelim night of the National Open, so I've had a little success there, and I know those guys are no joke for sure.
Well, we also like to invite you to come on over to C1's Grove Speedway sometime. And they don't have too many 410 shows during the year, but when they do, you like speed, that's the place to see 410s. There's nothing like it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I raced URC my first year of sprint cars and had my fair share of C1's Grove races, and I raced the PA Speed Week race there my first year of 410s. And, you know, it's a really fast place. So I wish we raced Grandview. I think that's a sweet track, you know. It's a little bit smaller, and I believe it's racy, and, you know, it slicks off, and you get the few grooves, and I really love that place. I would love to see more races there also. You know, same thing with Susquehanna. I wish we'd get a little bit more diverse and go around to more tracks, you know. Lincoln's always packed with people, and so is Williams Grove. You know, I know there's plenty of sprint car fans in Pennsylvania. I think we could spread it around.
And you can't forget about Port Royal as well. They're under new management, and they have turning things around. They had some great crowds out there, and that is another track that has a lot of speed.
Yeah, no doubt. It sucks because I kind of like that place too, but every time we go there for an all-star race, we get rained out or winded out or
something.
Froze out. There's always something that goes on, so I can't really talk too much about that place because we don't even get the race there anymore, really.
Yeah, it seems like Mother Nature just doesn't like the All-Stars at time up at Port Royal, but they do offer good Saturday night racing. So, well, listen, whatever decisions you end up making, wherever you go, we want to wish you all the best of luck for 2012. But you still have a couple more races left in 2011. So go out and have some fun. And, again, congratulations on getting your first ever World of Outlaw feature win.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on here. And, you know, hopefully I could do some more things this year.
Sounds great. David Gravel, the latest World of Outlaw winner, joining us here on the Sprint Car Report. We'll take a break and be back with more of the show right after this.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Good morning, Sean.
Hey, Toby, how are you?
Hey, doing fine, thank you.
All right, sorry, I'm running a little late as usual.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, well, I usually like to try to get the show up around noon, and it's 11 o'clock Eastern time.
It is 11 already, isn't it, for you?
Yeah. But it's one of those ones, it's on demand, so if it's not exactly up at high noon precisely,
they can still live with that.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's
that works.
But ultimately, the goal is to get it to be live, and that's what we're shooting for. And matter of fact, I was just talking with Bob Baker at the museum. Yeah, he called me just after we got hung up. After we hung up, and I was getting ready to leave out the door, he called.
Well, that works out.
Yeah. Hey, remind me. He was telling me you were helping work with that. The Outlaw show that happened at Topeka at the drag strip, correct?
Yeah.
Was that the one he was trying? He thought that's the one where Steve punched Sammy and the late Ted Johnson had to go and bail him out of jail. Was that the one?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That was, I don't even remember when that was. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But that was the first year. I think they did that 2 years, and I was actually down there flagging those.
Yeah.
And, I can't recall which, but I think it was the first year, but I don't remember when that was. That was a tight little racetrack.
Oh, yeah.
Man, they do 7,000 or 8,000 RPMs down the straightaway, and they were down to about 1,500 or 2,000 through the corners. I mean, they just all just stopped and crawled through the corners.
Yep. Yeah, I remember watching that one. Yeah, that was pretty interesting. So,
well, yes, it was, no doubt.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about taking over for... Now, how's I've heard a couple different pronunciations. How does Cappy actually pronounce his last name?
Just Capitani.
Capitani, okay. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I was thinking, but I've heard a few different variations on it.
Yep, everybody just calls him Cap or Cappy. They just leave it short and sweet.
Yep. Okay, well, if you're ready, I'm ready.
Yes,
go ahead.
I don't have my note there. What's your website again, Sean?
TheDirtTrackChannel.com.
Okay, TheDirtTrackChannel.com.
Yep.
Got it.
Okay. All right, here we go with Toby Cruz coming down in 3, 2, and 1. And welcome back to the Sprint Car Report here on TheDirtTrackChannel.com. And we haven't talked about this yet, folks, but coming up next year, it'll be our 10th year on the DirtTrackChannel.com of providing streaming audio, both live and on demand. And it was 10 years ago that I met this gentleman that we're about to introduce to you at the Belleville Midget Nationals at the Belleville High Banks. It was our first webcast, and we bring in the new general manager of the Knoxville Raceway, Toby Cruz. Toby, it's good to catch up with you, my friend.
Well, it's good to be on as well. Thank you very much, and that's some fond memories when you talk about a place like Belleville and some times like that. That place has it reminds you of Knoxville just with some of the history and the drivers that have passed through those gates.
Oh, indeed. And I remember driving out there, and boy, I think I hit it right during the middle of the heat wave. I think it was 105 when I rolled into Belleville the day before the, back then it was a 3-day show. And so that was a little getting used to there with 105 degrees coming up from when I was living in the Carolinas, but it was a lot of fun. And so now here we are 10 years later, and you're now the new general manager of Knoxville Speedway. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's a pretty neat thing, and things have been very busy, and they've got a great group of people down here as well, and just people have seen we've got the 2012 schedule ready to go, and just been talking with the World of Outlaw folks and trying to get things in place for heading down to the World Finals and talk about our schedule with them and some of the dates that we have. Like right now, you know, with the World of Outlaws, we'll have three separate times when they're here at, here at Knoxville next year, which will be really neat. Always start out with one of the early races, and you know, April 28th, the Outlaws are here. Then they come back in June, and then naturally for the Goodyear Knoxville Nationals in August. So it looks like a good schedule all in all.
Let me correct myself, folks. It's Knoxville Raceway. It's been a long weekend. It's been a long few days. Don't ask me why. I always wanted to call it Knoxville Speedway. I don't know why. It's Raceway. I should know that. I'm sitting here going, wait a second. Something's not right with that sounding that way. And so, but anyway.
That'll happen.
Yeah, it does. Our good friend and folks hear about them on our broadcast, Bob Baker and the fine folks over there at the Knoxville, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum located outside of Turn 2 of the Knoxville Raceway. He and I were chatting just after you and I were chatting a little while ago, and somebody posted on a message board, why couldn't they get a sprint car guy to take over for Ralph Capitani there at Knoxville? Well, you have quite a bit of a sprint car background. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you came to get in love with the sprint cars and what you, as a person who's been around the sport, are going to bring to the raceway in the position of being the new general manager?
Well, and that's, you know, there are some things that I don't know, you know, some of the people realize. And for 20 years, I worked with Robert Lawton, and he and Ted Johnson were extremely close. I mean, they were best of friends throughout Ted's entire life, and working with Lottie, he used to travel around the country and promote a lot of World Outlaw shows in the early years, and through those travels, I would go with him a lot and announce and flag those races for him. Took us everywhere from back in the days of the Slick 50 Sprint Car World Series with Pat Patterson, and those were outlaw events. Back in the 92 and 93, I was going out and announcing those. And then flagged some of my favorite places were Cedar Lake Speedway. We were just talking about two back in the day when they put the dirt on the drag strip at Topeka. Went down there the 2 years they did that and flagged those. And a couple of the legends with the Outlaws, Sammy and Steve, had a little altercation down there. And that was rather interesting time. And I got a little heated up, you know, when those two, it's just neat. And I always compare those two. It's just kind of like Scott Blomquist and Billy Moyer in the late model world.
Yep.
And they're just two of the legends, the icons in the sport that have really put them on the map and made the Outlaws what they are today.
Let's talk about where we are today in today's modern economy. And, of course, just recently fans had a chance to watch the two-hour delayed broadcast of Speeds of the 51st Annual Knoxville Nationals. And I know from things I've heard, things I've read, there was talk that the raceway thought maybe the live event was cutting down on attendance, allegedly. And I was wondering what your thoughts are on, will we get back to a point where we will see the Knoxville Nationals live on a Saturday night on Speed in the near future, given the current state of the economy and the way race fans are trying to come up with not only ways to support their local tracks, but get to iconic events such as the Knoxville Nationals.
Yeah, and there's we're already working on a few things like that, and you know, that will definitely be coming up here in the next few months, I believe. And that's a ongoing debate on whether that hurts or it helps. Tony Stewart and the gang at Eldora, you know, when they have their events live on pay-per-view, it actually fills the place, because sometimes I think even if it is a live event or the pay-per-view, it brings that much more to the plate, and it makes it feel like, I know myself as a race fan, I love when I'm at a televised event, you know, everybody's calling their friends at home, hey, you have to watch this, we're here live, and so I think it does add another element to the racing program, you know, if you can do that. The Outlaws and Speed, they do a great job on the, you know, even on the tape delay broadcast, and which is good if you can keep the exposure like that, because if people weren't here, and even if they see the tape delay, they're still getting to see, you know, the Knoxville Raceway, and we hope we can lure them in, and that they want to come back, you know, 2012, and then maybe see it for the first time, or if they've missed it for a few years, they're like, I need to get back there. And so the exposure of any type always helps.
Price-wise, have you guys talked about what you're going to do for pricing for tickets for next year? Will they stay the same, go up a little bit, go down a little bit? How is that aspect of the business looking?
Yeah, and we've talked on that, and you know, all that's been updated on the website for all the grandstand tickets, special events and everything. We're keeping them all the same, and it's just like you mentioned there, you know, the state of the economy and the way things are at, we did not see a, you know, need to be raising those right now, definitely not the time or the place, and so we have kept the grandstand seating, all that intact and in place. Well, 2012 will just be a mirror image of our 2011 prices.
Well, as we mentioned, we're talking with Toby Cruz, who I had the great opportunity to meet 10 years ago out of the Belleville Midget Nationals. Would you have imagined 10 years ago that you would be taking over for the legendary Cappy at Knoxville as the general manager, and how did that all come about?
Not for a split second. You know, I guess it's one of those things never would have even dreamt about or thought about. And the neat thing is, you know, I was born and raised in central Iowa in Boone, and so only, you know, a matter of about 70, 80 miles away from Knoxville. So I've always been close, been a fan of the place for years, been down here the 50th annual. I had the honor to announce a race down here. So, I mean, that's, you know, like we talked, maybe people don't realize it, have been around the sprint cars in Knoxville for many, many years. And I came down here in so many different respects. You know, even some of the IMC races come down and announce those and some of the specials, but you never come here thinking, man, I might end up promoting this thing, because, I mean, Cappy's been here for 45 years, so you never even thought of the day when his name in Knoxville would not just go hand in hand, and so it's never dreamt it, but it's an exciting opportunity for sure.
What goals do you have laid out for yourself, Toby, and what would you like to do in order to be able to build upon what Cappy and the staff have done so tremendously over the last decades?
You know, I think one of our biggest things is, you know, everybody knows about the Nationals and you know, even the Lucas Oil, the late model Nationals, the, you know, 360 Nationals. There's so many great special events. And I hate even calling them weekly shows, but, you know, the Championship Cup Series that we have, there's 17 of those in 2012. And, a Saturday night race at Knoxville over the last couple of years has become so competitive. You see, you know, not a night goes by, you don't have a last lap pass for the win, it seems like. And that's one of the areas we're trying to focus on, is getting some more of the local involvement and surrounding communities, get them back for our weekly shows, and trying to build on that. And in turn, I think that will even help with the special event. So just that's kind of our focus right now, is just, you know, starting on the weekly events and kind of building the strength on that. And I think that will help us on all of the events by the end of 2012.
And it sounds like to me you're ready to go, doesn't it?
Indeed. Yep, we kind of hit the ground running, and you know, John McCoy and Brian Stickle, they've been a huge part of this, and I mean, the list goes on. They've got a great staff already assembled, and that's just another piece of the puzzle, and we're all just working together for the, you know, the same ultimate goal, just, you know, love the sport, and we just want to see things continue to grow.
I know they had you on video over there, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, to introduce you, and Bob was telling me they had a tremendous turnout, about 100 people or so to come out and meet you. What other things are you planning to do in terms of being, as you mentioned, getting out in the communities, talking to people? What might be coming up over the next couple months as we roll into the holidays that you're going to do in order to keep Knoxville Raceway out in front of people's minds and things to do come the 2012 season?
You know, and we've got a busy schedule planned. Next Wednesday, we head to Charlotte for the World Finals. You know, so that'll be a great chance to meet with all the World of Outlaw drivers. And the World of Outlaw officials. We've got meetings planned every day down there, just, you know, working on the 2012 schedule. We do some promoters workshops in the off-season, one in Reno in December that we'll go to. We go right from there to the IMA show, the IMIS show in Indianapolis. Some more meeting with everything from the racers to the sanctioned bodies. Got another workshop in February during Speed Week, so we'll do that and take in some of the dirt racing at Volusia. And, you know, just a lot of just trying to stay out there. And there's, you know, some local events as well that we do some promoting, just getting the schedules out. And so the winter months, sometimes people say, hey, what happens in the off season? That's actually, that's your busiest time of year. That's when it's time to promote and let people know about 2012.
Yeah, it's amazing for me to look back. I'm wrapping up my 25th year of covering motorsports, and it's amazing to see that there's not much, if any, of an off season anymore. It's go out there and get the sponsorships and get the plans ready now for 2012. And speaking of plans, folks, you can go on to KnoxvilleRaceway.com. They already have up the 2012 tentative schedule, and that's one thing I think is being addressed more and more, is, Toby, is that tracks are getting these schedules out earlier so people can plan accordingly for the next year. And I want to get your thoughts on that, but just for 1 second, I want to remind everybody that the 52nd annual Knoxville Nationals will begin on August the 8th, and the finale is August the 11th. So it's the 8th through the 11th, the Knoxville Nationals for 2012. Your thoughts real quick on getting the schedule out now, right after your season is only a few weeks over.
Yeah, I think that's just critical. It's like I said, John, that way people, they want to make any travel plans or, you know, they want to start planning some of the major events or which events they want to go to, they can look, and it just, it adds a special element. If you've got your schedule in place, it shows we're confident, we're solid in the schedule, and we're ready to hit the ground running in 2012, and so, yeah, since we have that in place, and the longer you get into it, you know, it gets easier just to say, okay, we looked through that, moved a few things around, and I'm happy we've got that out. We've had a lot of good feedback. People were like, man, we're happy to see that's already out, and so they can start making their travel plans.
Well, Toby, it sounds great. We appreciate your time, folks. Not to worry to those posters who are wondering if you had a sprint car guy taking over at Knoxville, because you do. And he's a good one. Toby, again, congratulations on getting the title of the new general manager, taking over for Cappy. And we wish you all the best of luck. And hopefully we'll be seeing you next week at the World Funnels at the Dirt Track at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
We'll be looking forward to it. And I appreciate the time and look forward to meeting all the drivers and fans. And 2012, it's going to be an exciting year here for Knoxville.
Toby Crews, the new general manager of the Knoxville Raceway, joining us here on the Sprint Car Report. We'll take a break and be back with more of our show right after this. At Rod End Supply, they have the unique opportunity to be involved with all sorts of auto racing and performance-related industries, including farming equipment. Whether you're running a go-kart, micro sprint, midget, modified, late model, sprint car, or a tractor, Rod End Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performing at your maximum potential. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively with prompt and courteous service. Their promise is to continue to provide superior service with superior products that will keep you in front of your field. To learn more, log on to rodendsupply.com or call Bob Douglas and his staff at 1-800-284-2902. That's 1-800-284-2902. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. Welcome back to the Sprint Car Report, everybody. Special thanks to our guests, David Gravel and Toby Crews, for joining us here on today's show. We greatly appreciate that. Coming up this weekend is the Short Track Nationals in Little Rock, Arkansas, and we'll be at Hagerstown Speedway for our live fly-the-fly coverage of the Oktoberfest 350, including the 410 sprint cars, and as of today, the there are 36 pre-entered sprint cars, including the wild child himself, Jack Hodenshield, and Logan Schuart, the grandson of Bobby Scruffy Allen. So make sure you tune in over the weekend here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Live fly-to-fly coverage beginning at noon Eastern. Big block modified, small block modified, super late models, and the 410 sprint cars. Free of charge and free of registration right here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon here on the Sprint Car Report. I'm Sean Wood. Today's broadcast has been brought to you by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and by Coastal181.com, reading for racers, and by Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.